Thank you, Jesus. Well, in this atmosphere, I'm honored to be here today. And one more time, I just want to take a moment and honor the amazing Pastor Sean and his lovely wife. Thank you. Thank you for staying in New England and standing in New England. Thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. And I came to declare some prophetic words over you and over this ministry here. I want to honor my buddy Josiah. What a warrior in the kingdom. A young apostolic leader. Thank you for standing for the kingdom of God. You and your lovely wife. They're so fruitful. Babies coming from everywhere. Hallelujah. Well, I came to declare over you, as I was praying for you, the Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you that you're getting ready to usher in your Canaan. That right now we're going through a wilderness season, but that your Canaan is coming. A season of possessing the land. But I thought to myself, God, they have so much land, they don't need any more land. And God told me, you haven't seen anything yet. There's more land coming in the name of Jesus. There's more territory to take in the name of Jesus. Because Canaan is all about taking territory. And God told me to tell you, there's more territory to take in the name of Jesus. God is bringing you into your promised land. God is bringing you into your Canaan in Jesus' name. I hear territory, territory in the name of Jesus. So I declare an anointing to take more land and more territory in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout that if you receive that. Come on, I wrote a few things down. We've gone through a shutdown and so many things happening in 2020. And many people are saying, I can't wait for things to go back to normal. Well, I've got news for you. What we had was not normal. That was Egypt. God has better for you in the name of Jesus. We're not going back to normal. We're going to something better and greater. And I came to announce that your Canaan is coming in the name of Jesus. I need a few people to celebrate your Canaan in Jesus' name. Somebody is waiting for things to go back to normal. And I'm here to tell you that many times when you're in bondage, you start to think that's normal. And you get comfortable. God told me to tell you that what we had was Egypt. He's doing a new thing. Yeah, he's doing a new thing. Let me read a scripture for you. Can I read a scripture for you? Woo! Exodus 16 verse 3. They began to complain to Moses. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They mourned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate of the all the bread we wanted. But now you've brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. I'm here to tell you, God has not brought us into this wilderness called 2020 to starve us. I'm here to tell you that God is taking us out of our comfort zone in Jesus' name. You see, many people think that it's the devil that makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to mess your theology for a little bit. Many of us are thinking it's the devil that always makes us uncomfortable. Have you heard of Peter? He was in the boat. He was comfortable. And Jesus was in the midst of the storm. And he says, Peter, I want you to get out of what's comfortable and walk over me. Where I am, it's uncomfortable. But I want you to walk over to me. Many times, the enemy wants you comfortable. Because as long as you're comfortable, you never go to the next level. So I think COVID-19 is Moses. I don't think God brought COVID-19 upon us. But I believe that God is using it for His glory in the name of Jesus. And I believe that God is doing something wonderful with this ministry. He's bringing you into your Canaan in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. I heard territory. The other thing I heard is a great harvest. You guys have been praying for a great harvest of souls. I see God bringing you back into a crusade style ministry. Mass harvest in Jesus' name. What you're doing tonight with this tent is not just a one-time thing. Somebody saying, I can't wait for life to go back to normal. I can't wait for our cute and our pretty services. Well, get ready. This is going to be normal. Woo! Pastor Sean, you can tell me to stop whenever you want me to stop. Well, this is the new normal because God is doing something new. And there are souls that are coming to the kingdom of God. Something is shifting. I came from Africa. I had the privilege of leading worship for a great evangelist called Reinhard Bonnke. And I walked into this tent today and it felt like the early days of the Bonnke Crusades in Zimbabwe. And I believe that the days of the tents and the crusades and the stadium crusades are coming back even in New Hampshire in Jesus' name. Come on, get ready, get ready, get ready in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. And so I see mass salvations. I'll never forget landing at Logan Airport and coming into Boston for the first time in my life. And I could feel the heaviness in the air. I had never felt that before. Before I came to America, I watched a movie called Beverly Hills Cop. So I thought I was coming to Beverly Hills. I thought the whole of America looks like Beverly Hills. There was such heaviness in the atmosphere. I grew up in a region that's been in revival for a long time. I'd never left that region into another region. It was strange, the feeling I felt. I came from the Bonnke Crusades and I needed to pray just to get out of bed in New England. For the first time in 20 years, I have felt a shift in the atmosphere. The hunger in the atmosphere. I feel like I'm back in Africa and I'm in New Hampshire. I feel like God is doing something new in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm here to tell you that the convergence of your prayers, something is about to break in the name of Jesus. Something is about to break in the name of Jesus. And I just need some wild people who are willing to celebrate what God is about to do. Because the word of God says, sing, O barren woman. New England is no longer barren. God is doing a new thing in the name of Jesus. And I just came here with this African fire to tell you that God is doing a new thing. For those of you who've been saying, I need fresh hunger. Well, get ready. God is doing it in this season. He's giving you a fresh fire in the name of Jesus. There's a fresh hunger even among those that are not saved. As I drive in the neighborhoods, it's time to begin to speak to your neighbors again about Jesus. It's time to begin to preach during Thanksgiving dinner again in the name of Jesus. Because God is doing a new thing. So I heard mass salvation. This is how your canon is going to look like. Mass salvation in Jesus' name. So Holy Ghost, I release your fire upon evangelists in the name of Jesus. Raise up new evangelists in Jesus' name. Raise up new evangelists in Jesus' name. Raise up high school evangelists in the name of Jesus. Raise up college evangelists in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin to pray for your sports teams, young people, in the name of Jesus. Because God is doing it again in Jesus' name. The other thing I heard is that there's going to be a release of new leaders. More leaders. More leaders that God is raising out of your apostolic loins in the name of Jesus. And so one of the prayers we're going to pray tonight is going to be simply this. Lord, send me and use me for your glory. Lord, send me and use me for your glory. Right here, right now, as you lift up those strings, come on, lift up your hands and just pray this prayer. Lord, send me and use me for your glory. Come on, pray that prayer. Lord, send me and use me for your glory. Because God is raising up leaders. Leaders that will not worship their families over God. Leaders that will not worship their occupations as a place for family, a place for jobs, a place for all that. But God is raising up a generation of a people who are married to God, and God is first in their lives. A generation of a people that know how to sacrifice for ministry. A generation of a people that have a yes in their spirit. A generation of a people that don't give God ultimatums, in Jesus' name. A generation of a people that are ready and willing to go in the name of Jesus. Do it, Father, under this anointing now in the name of Jesus. Raising leaders. And the next thing the Lord spoke to me about your canon makes sense. And this is why God is raising leaders. There's going to be an increase of church planting in the next 20 years. An increase of church planting through this ministry in the next 20 years. And God told me to come here and tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready in the name of Jesus. I see churches not just in New Hampshire. I see churches that God is releasing through your apostolic ministry in this season. You've entered into ascending season in Jesus' name. Ascending season, thus saith the Lord. Ascending season, this is what your canon is. This is what your canon is. It's ascending season. Moses sent Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies into Canaan in advance to spy the land. Spy the land. And two of them came with a positive report. The other 10 came with a negative report. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will open your eyes to see what he's seeing in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here's another thing I saw. Your canon is going to look like this. God is raising, this is an interesting one, but God is going to raise businesses and millionaires through this church. Businesses and millionaires through this church. Canon is a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey. Many times we focus on the milk and honey. We have to focus on the flowing. It's a land flowing. There's a continued flow. And one of the things that are going to flow in this season is there'll be no shortage of finances and resources for everything that you desire to do in this region, in Jesus' name. I need every business leader to raise up your hands right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare an anointing, a business anointing upon every leader in this place in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the millionaires that you're birthing in this place. Millionaires that don't fear money. They don't worship money. Raise them up, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other thing I saw in your canon is God is releasing a sound. It's a fresh sound of worship. Every worshiper, raise up your hand. A fresh sound of worship. Hallelujah. I declare songs that will come out of this house to the end of the world in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, from New Hampshire to the ends of the world in Jesus' name. The final thing I saw in your canon. This is an interesting thing. It's healing centers. Healing centers. And I'm not just talking about laying hands of people. It's an inner healing center. It's this holistic thing. I don't even understand it very well. It's this holistic thing, whatever God is doing with some of you in this place. But I saw people flying into this region. And they were broken. Their sores were heavy. And they were coming into this oasis looking for healing. I declare it over you right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So very quickly, after declaring that, I want to give you 6 points. Can I take a moment here and just teach? Can I teach? Can I teach in this place? I want to release a teaching anointing in this place. And very quickly, I want to give you 6 points. Please take notes. Take copious notes. an African guy who comes here to preach and makes you take notes. Well, I'm just following what the Lord is doing. I'm going to teach because I want to prepare you. The Lord has told me, prepare Canaan leaders. 6 points, 6 principles on how you can become a Canaan leader. Because God is bringing your Canaan. You are ushering in your Canaan and you have to prepare. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I see an explosion coming. I see a harvest so big. If you don't prepare, it's going to be tough to steward it well. So I'm going to take a moment and teach. I'm going to walk into my pastoral anointing and teach on how you can become a Canaan leader and steward what God desires to do here. Number one, Canaan leaders know how to manage change. Canaan leaders know how to manage change. You have to understand this. From Egypt to the wilderness to Canaan, different systems, different routines. Canaan leaders know how to manage change. I came here to tell someone it's time to divorce the past. Some of us are so married to what was, you're going to fail to walk into what God is doing now because you're failing to give up the past. It's time to leave the systems of Egypt because God is doing a new thing. So I want to pass to you for a moment here. It's okay to grieve the past. It's okay to take a moment and grieve the things that we're losing. It's okay to take a moment and grieve Egypt. But while you're crying and grieving Egypt, take a moment and begin to celebrate the Canaan that's coming. My wife and I, God gave us an incredible home last year. We moved to Methuen from Medford. I love the farms in Methuen. It feels like Africa. We used to live in a 2-bedroom apartment in Medford because 3 times we took the money that God had given us as down payment for a home. We took those funds to do United Night of Worship. And the 3rd time we took those finances and started a church with that. And God just exploded that church within 2 years. Over 1,000 people on a weekend. Lives being saved, healed, and delivered. You missed a good place to celebrate Jesus. God is doing a new thing in New England. But when we were getting ready to move out of Medford, I was so excited. I was so done with that 2-bedroom apartment. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And on the final day before we left, my wife sat down. And she began to cry. And I said, "Hon, why are you crying?" She said, "I'm going to miss this place." I said, "The devil is a liar." I said, "You're crying about this 2-bedroom apartment that had mice in it?" I was like, "Peace out. I'm ready to get out of this place." I said, "The Lord left this place a long time ago. I'm ready to move on." But then the Spirit of the Lord said, "No, take a moment and allow your wife to grieve this Egypt. Because the way you walk out of Egypt determines how you walk into Canaan." So she took a moment and she walked around this 2-bedroom apartment. She said, "I'm going to miss the neighbors. I'm going to miss this neighborhood. I'm going to miss this place." And then she looked at me and said, "Hon, but I'm excited about our brand new house that the Lord has given us. I'm excited to go there. I'm excited to enjoy the swimming pool. I'm excited to enjoy all that." But she took a moment to grieve the past. Let me pastor you. It's okay to take a moment and grieve what we're walking away from. But please don't get so married to what we're walking away from that you fail to usher in the new. So Canaan leaders have to know how to change. Canaan leaders have to be flexible. Your leaders are going to ask you to do new things. Pastor Sean was pastoring you so well. Wear your mask. That's a change, right? We've gone through change after change after change after change after change. Well, here's good news. There's more change to come. But thank God you are a Canaan leader. You're not married to your past. God has given you the grace to usher in the new. And those that are not willing to go with the changes are going to become the ones that are the greatest challenge to your leaders. But I want to prepare you for what's to come in Jesus' name. I declare that God is bringing a spirit of agreement in this place in the name of Jesus. A divine agreement in the name of Jesus. I declare over you, you will not be offended in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of offense now in the name of Jesus. I take dominion authority over the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus. You're going to be pliable. You're going to be able to change and shift. There's so many changes coming. This church is going to have to shift and do so many different things. And God is raising you up to be a Canaan leader. You cannot enter into Canaan without experiencing change. Because there's a difference between Egypt and Canaan. You cannot experience your Canaan without embracing change. You cannot experience your Canaan without embracing change. Change is inevitable. Embrace it. Come on, somebody. Let me speak to the older ladies in this building. Remember back in the days when you used to wear a size 6? What happened? Change happened. Change happened. Yeah. Amen. Let me look at all the fellas that have a shiny head like me. Remember the day you had long hair? My brother there. What happened? Change happened. So they were fighting Moses, not because Moses was doing something bad to them. Moses was bringing them into their promised land, but they were fighting him. You know why? Because people resist change. People resist change. It amazes me that we serve a God who never changes, but he loves change. We serve a God who never changes, but he loves change. And he's always doing a new thing. And so Canaan leaders have to embrace change. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. So lift up your hands. Let me declare over you. Father, raise up leaders in this house that are willing to change and go in the direction that God is going in Jesus' name. That are willing to follow the marching orders that you're giving to their leadership in the name of Jesus. And Father, as you do that, they will steward the harvest that's coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, they cannot have their Canaan without experiencing change. Give them the grace to divorce the past and to welcome the new in Jesus' name. Somebody put your hands together and celebrate the new. Come on, welcome the new in Jesus' name. I didn't know I was going to teach here like this. Hallelujah. Number two, Canaan leaders have a winning attitude. Canaan leaders have a winning attitude. Remember, Moses sent 12 spies. 10 of them came with a negative report, and 2 of them came back with a positive report. Joshua and Caleb, we can do this. We are well able. We can do this. We're able to do this. And after 20 years of ministry, after 20 years of incredible ministry, I believe that God is raising up leaders with a winning attitude. Leaders like Joshua and Caleb who are still saying, Pastor Sean, we can do this. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going to scream with my African voice.
One, two. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Sean, I love the sound of that. I declare in the name of Jesus that you won't be weary of doing good after 20 years. I declare that after 20 years, you won't be tired of doing good in Jesus' name. I declare that after 20 years, you have another yes in you in the name of Jesus. We need a few wild people in this place that are willing to follow as God leads your leadership in Jesus' name. Canaan leaders are leaders with a winning attitude. I want to read a scripture for you. And it's Numbers chapter 13, verse 28 to 33. And I want you to see something here. I want you to see something. They're giving Moses a report. I'm going to take time to teach. They're giving Moses a report. We went into the land which you sent us, and all does it flow with milk and honey. I want you to see how many positive things that the 10 people mentioned and how many negative things they mentioned to Moses. It says, oh, the land flows with milk and honey. That's a positive. Can we agree that's a positive? The land flows with milk and honey. That's a positive. It says, the only thing is, anytime somebody tells you the only thing is, they're about to complain. It says, the only thing is that the people who live there are fierce. We have one positive. How many negatives? One negative. Fierce. The people who live there are fierce. That's a negative. It says their cities are huge and well fortified. That's negative number two. Worse yet. Wow. If somebody's talking and they say worse yet, that's a negative already. Worse yet. We saw descendants of the giant Anak, the Amalekites, spread out in the Negev, Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites hold on to the hill country. And the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea along the Jordan. It's negative after negative after negative. And then the Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 30, says, then Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses, and said, let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. I need a few people who are willing to interrupt a negative conversation. I need a few people who are willing to stop a negative conversation in his tracks and say, hold up, hold up, hold up. We can do this. God has given us the strength to do this. God is bringing a Canaan for you. And I declare that you are a Joshua and a Caleb in the name of Jesus. You're those that speak positively in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to know this. Anything great you're going to be part of is going to have some amazing things and some not so amazing things. I call it the 80-20 principle. Now, I love my wife so much. I've been married to my wife 14 years. She's Italian-American. Thank God I still have both my African kneecaps. She's an Italian from Havre, Mass. Her grandfather was the chief of police in the city of Havre for a long time. So she knows how to bind the devil for real. But I love my wife so much. She's so amazing. She's so beautiful. She's incredible. We've been married for 14 years. And we have four beautiful babies, four children. And somebody said, man, you're from Africa. You love children. You have four of them. I said, I'm from Africa. I don't think it's the fact that I love children, but I love my wife. I have four children because I love my wife. Somebody will get this when they're going home tonight. You see, it's delayed. They're getting it. I have the most amazing marriage ever. 80% of my marriage is incredible. And then there's a 20% that when I got married 14 years ago, I was saying, God, would you change this and change that and change this and change that? And I had faith. 14 years later, it's dawned on me that there are certain things that may never change. But it's so good because God is changing me instead, and those things just don't bother me anymore. So I'm here to tell you that God is doing something new in this house. There's a canon that's coming, but I want you to know, in the midst of the canon that's coming, there's going to be 80% of things you absolutely love. And there's going to be a 20% that you don't love. You know, people who divorce, it's because they focus on the bad 20% and they lose focus of the 80% that's good. Only to walk away from their marriage and to get married to somebody else in their second marriage and discover that that other person has a worse 20% that's terrible than the first marriage. So I'm here to tell you that God is doing something new in this place. But there are going to be things that you wish they changed. It's not time to walk away. It's time to commit in Jesus' name. It's time to renew your commitment in the name of Jesus. I'll take two people clapping. Come on, I came from Africa. I came to preach in Jesus' name. It's time to believe again. It's time to trust again. God told me to tell some of you, after 20 years, it's time to trust again. It's time to trust like you've never been hurt before. It's time to trust again like you've never been hurt before. It's time to believe again. Believe in your leaders like never before. Fall in love with your leaders like never before. God is releasing a spirit of agreement in this place. It's divine. Because there are amazing things that God is bringing your way. And you're going to have to steward them. God is raising each one of you as a Canaan leader in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands in this place. Father, I declare, give some of those who are weary, some of those who've lost trust, some of you, some of those that are wounded, heal them again in Jesus' name. Father, they will trust again. They will love again. They will believe again. They will serve again. They will give themselves wholly again like the early days. Like the early days. They will sacrifice again. They will believe again. In Jesus' name. Do it, Father, I pray. Do it, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. There's a healing. There's a healing. There's a new strength. There's a new strength coming into your bones in Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah, there's a new strength. Some of you didn't think you can go another year. Come on, you can go another 20 in Jesus' name. Fully engaged in Jesus' name. Fully committed in the name of Jesus. Come on, a new love. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. If you have felt tired, you felt tired, that's you. There's a fatigue in your soul. Lift up your hands. I'm going to declare a fresh wind upon you. Come on, come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A new strength. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to feel like you have a new battery on you. In the name of Jesus. A new zeal. A new strength, a new tenacity, a new enthusiasm in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit fire, Holy Spirit fire, a refreshing in the name of Jesus. 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 A new joy in the name of Jesus. The restoration of the joy of your salvation. A new joy. A new joy for serving in the kingdom of God. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus. It's a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus. What else is there to live for? What else is there to live for but to serve the Lord Jesus? I declare, as for you and your house and your babies, you shall serve the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. A new strength. A new strength. This revival is beginning in you. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are worthy to be praised. We give you all. We give you the glory. Come on, thank him for new strength. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised. I saw my father do this. My father was a healing evangelist who was anointed by Reinhard Bonnke. We had a dog. We used to call him Mello. He was old and he was tired. And I saw him limping and I said, man, this guy is about to go. My father grabbed Mello and began to lay hands on Mello and began to pray over Mello. And that thing started running. He went another year and a half. I declare over you in Jesus' name that God is giving you a new strength in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A new zeal, a new strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you a final point. Amen. We only have 10 hours tonight, so. Only have 3 in the morning? Okay. Yes, I know. I was looking at my time like, I only have room for one more. But I'm going to keep going. Number 3, leaders, Canaan leaders are leaders who follow vision, not their own agenda. Canaan leaders are leaders who follow vision, not their own agenda. Woo. Joshua chapter 6 verse 10, they're taking the land. It says, but Joshua commanded the army and said this, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Somebody shout, do not. One more time. Somebody shout, do not. It says, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I tell you to shout. Until I tell you to shout. Some church people can look at that as pride. That's not pride. That's leadership. Do not make a move. Do not do anything. Joshua said, until I tell you to shout, then shout. Why? It's because vision brings agreement. And agreement is a place of power. And God can only release vision through the head of the house. Now, methods can be negotiable, but the vision is not for sale. And so just imagine, they're getting ready to take the land. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the moment they're about to take the land. And Joshua, the leader, says this. The set man says this. Don't shout. Don't do anything until I tell you. Why? Because following vision brings agreement. They all had to shout together at the same time in order for them to have victory. If you're shouting when the pastor has said not to shout, you're dissolving and diluting the agreement. In the place that God is taking you, He's about to do great things. Your agreement cannot be broken. Vision has to be strong. Joshua says, don't shout. Don't nobody shout. It's not because Joshua is being abusive. It's not because he's prideful. It's because he's concerned about the agreement, and vision creates agreement. And everybody shouted together at the same time in unison. And the walls of Jericho fell down because there was vision and everybody was following vision. I pray over you in Jesus' name. God will give you grace to honor vision. I pray that the spirit of honor will fall upon this place in the name of Jesus. People will come and say, that is divine honor. The kind of honor that is supernatural. So Canaan leaders are leaders who value vision and instruction. Canaan leaders are leaders who value vision and instruction. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of honor, the culture of honor would fall upon this house in the name of Jesus, that they will value vision in Jesus' name. God, raise up leaders who value vision in Jesus' name. Raise up leaders, oh God, who honor vision. Let's go to point number four. Number four, Canaan leaders are leaders who know how to speak life. Canaan leaders are leaders who know how to speak life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, that when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. That all the people shall shout. That all the people shall shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down. All the people shall shout. Then the wall will fall down. All the people will shout. Then the walls will fall down. All the people will shout. Then the walls will fall down. I want you to know that your victory is in what you're declaring. They declared something, then the walls came tumbling down. So God is raising up a generation of a people who are prophetic. You don't declare your feelings, you declare what the Lord is saying. You don't declare what you feel. You declare what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. So we declare in Jesus' name that revival is coming. It doesn't matter whether we feel like it or not. God, we declare what you're declaring in the name of Jesus. It says they opened up their mouths and they shouted. And after they shouted, the walls fell. You don't declare the right thing because you feel like it. You declare the right thing because you live by it. The very ground that we're standing on was created by the power of words. So Father, raise up a prophetic generation. Even among the children, raise them up. Who wake up in the morning and they begin to declare life into their atmosphere. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Here we go. Point number five. Point number five. Canaan leaders are leaders who value covenant. Canaan leaders are leaders who value covenant. I think I'm going to get in trouble with this one. Joshua chapter 6 verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey. With the edge of the sword. Canaan leaders honor covenant. This is what I want you to know. That Jericho was the first city that they conquered when they got into Canaan. And because Jericho was the first city, God told them not to keep anything from Jericho. You know why? Because Jericho was their tithe. Jericho was the first fruits. And the first fruits belong to the Lord. So what I'm telling you is that you don't qualify for your Canaan if you eat your Jericho. You don't qualify for your Canaan if you eat your Jericho. They were not supposed to eat Jericho. But there was one guy, his name was Achan. And he took some things from Jericho. And the Bible says the entire clan, everybody, the entire nation was punished because of one person who broke the covenant. So I want to declare this in Jesus' name. If you're here and you're not a tither, this is time to become a tither in Jesus' name. You're preaching good, Pastor Zenzo. Because the things that God desires to do, it's going to take a covenantal people. Honoring the Lord with your 10%, I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, raise up a generation of a people that put you first in their finances in the name of Jesus. They could not touch anything from Jericho because Jericho was the first city and the first belongs to God. Jesus says the first belongs to him. The first belongs to God. Let's go to the last one. We're going to walk away from the tithing. Number six. Canaan leaders are leaders who are healthy. Canaan leaders are leaders who are healthy. Healthy in your soul. Healthy in every area of life. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What God is bringing in this place for you to steward it well, this is the time to be healthy. This is the time to care for your soul. It's the time to care for your soul. And this is what the Lord is saying in the scripture here. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Moses is speaking to Joshua and he's saying, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth so that you can have good success. I want to give you a crash course on deliverance. Deliverance is simply living a lifestyle of hearing the voice of the Father over the voice of the accuser. A lifestyle of hearing the voice of the Father over the voice of the accuser. So I declare in the name of Jesus that the people of this church will be healthy in Jesus' name. There will be no divorces in this place in the name of Jesus. You will be healthy in the name of Jesus. You're not going to have revival at the expense of your families and your marriages in Jesus' name. You're going to be healthy. And it's this simple. This is how you remain healthy in your soul. Is that you're going to hear the voice of the Father speaking to you. But there's also the voice of the accuser. That's always speaking. Some of you have been hearing voices since you were little that say you're not good enough. You're not beautiful. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares about you. But I want you to know there's another voice, and it's the voice of the Father that says, I found you so worthy. I sent my son to die for you. You're precious. You're special. Zephaniah says the Father literally sings songs over you. He sings songs over you. So what's deliverance? Back in the days, we used to play music with a CD player and we used to have the repeat button. Anybody remembers the repeat button? If there was a song you loved so much, you pressed the repeat button. So deliverance is pressing the repeat button to the songs that the Lord is singing over your life. And you play that song until your fears drown. Yeah. Because the Father is singing over you. And you play that song over and over until suicide runs out of the room. You play that song over and over and over until the abuse that you experienced as a child cannot be heard anymore. Because what God is bringing your way, you're going to have to be healthy to sustain and to steward what God is bringing your way. You cannot be unhealthy when the harvest comes. So Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, you're about to take Canaan. Amazing things are about to happen. But guess what? Guess what? In order for you to have good success, the book of the law, the voice of the Father, meditate upon it day and night. Day and night. The promises of God, meditate upon them day and night. The promises of God, put those on repeat. The promises of God, hear what the Father is singing over you, so that you can silence the voice of the accuser, so that you can have good success. Come on, we are raising Canaan leaders in the name of Jesus. People end up in promiscuity because of an inadequacy that's in their soul. And I've heard stories of people falling in sin in the midst of a great revival. It's not going to happen here in Jesus' name. So I told you that my wife and I have been married 14 years. I'm going to end with this. And after we had our four beautiful babies, I noticed that when my wife would come into our bedroom, she'd flip the light switch off. She'd turn it off. And I'll turn it back on. Just like that light right there. That's on me. You know, I jumped here and they made sure that the light is on the African brother here. Because most of the times when I'm in the dark, I have to smile for my wife to see me. I'm here, hon. And so my wife would come into the bedroom and she'd turn off the lights and I'll turn them on. And now I'm a church boy, y'all. I waited to get married. So when I finally got married, I wanted to turn on the lights so I can see everything. I waited for this. I'm making the pastor uncomfortable now. And she'll turn off the lights. And one night I said, "Hon, why do you keep turning off? Why do you keep turning off the lights?" She said, "Hon, after we've had these four babies, I have these stretch marks and I don't feel beautiful. Hon, I don't feel beautiful anymore. I don't feel beautiful, and that's why I keep turning off the lights. I don't want you to see me. I don't feel beautiful." And I said, "Hon, you've given me these beautiful four babies. And those stretch marks and the scars that you have, they're beautiful to me. Because they remind me of the sacrifice that you've made for our family." I said, "Hon, these scars are beautiful to me." So that night, the Lord said to me, "Zenzo, I want you to find every scar, every stretch mark, and I want you to just kiss it. Kiss every scar, kiss every stretch mark, and tell her that it's beautiful because she has given you four beautiful children." And that night, I washed my wife's feet and I started to kiss her scars. And I said, "Honey, thank you so much for giving me my Zenzo. I remember that day when you were delivering my Zenzo. She was crying and laughing. Thank you for giving me my Sarah. She got a big old head. I remember that day when she came out with a big old head. But thank you for giving me my Sarah. They had to stitch you up because of Sarah. And she's special. Thank you for my Joshua. And thank you for my Anaya." And she was in tears. And I said, "Hon, these scars are beautiful to me. And I just came here Windham, New Hampshire, to tell you that your scars are beautiful to Jesus. And listen to this, listen to this. After I kissed her scars that night, she came back the next night and she turned on all the lights. I said, what's going on? She was wearing just high heels. I'm sorry, this is a little PG for some of you. Wearing just high heels, and she started to dance. Hey, she started, check what her mama gave her. She started to dance and dance and dance. I love this guy. She literally started to dance and celebrate. Because I kissed her scars. And God told me to tell you that He's kissing your scars of 20 years. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 20 years, there's been some scars. But I see you dancing. I see you dancing. I see you dancing. Because those scars represent souls. Those scars represent changed lives. Those scars represent an incredible 20 years of ministry. Even on you as pastors, as leaders, I hear the Lord saying He's kissing your scars. And He's healing you of the wounds of those that have walked out the different stages over the 20 years. And there's a new strength. There's a new zeal. And that you're Kenan leaders. Healthy. And leading a healthy generation. Because in this season, you're going to hear the voice of the Father louder singing over you. Stretch your hands in the name of Jesus. Father, refresh them. Father, refresh them. Yeah, 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 yeah. Father, refresh them. Father, refresh them. Father, refresh them. Father, refresh them. They're going to dance again. They're going to dance again. A refreshing, a new season. 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 Father, I pray that you're going to fill their mouths with good food. That there's going to be a sound of beautiful laughter emanating from their home. Father, I thank you for they'll see fruit in each one of their children. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, and I declare that every prayer that they've prayed for this next generation is going to yield fruit in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray even the scars on their children. Oh, Jesus, would you kiss the scars of ministry on their children in the name of Jesus. Yeah. They will love you. They will serve you. Would you kiss the scars of their children? Heal every wound of ministry in the name of Jesus. Father, bless them with property, finances. I thank you, Jesus, for retirement funds. I thank you for all you're doing in their lives. In the name of Jesus, heal their bodies. In Jesus' name. Thank you for grandbabies. They will love you. They will serve you. They will hear amazing stories. Of grandparents. grandpa and grandma, whatever they're going to call them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that upon those new ones, that this next generation that's coming, you do a new thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fresh vision. Fresh vision. Like Joshua, we can do this. Fresh vision. We can take this land. Like Joshua, fresh vision in Jesus' name. Fresh vision in the name of Jesus. And I declare that in this season, they will see more, do less, but accomplish more. See more, do less, and accomplish more. For you're raising sons and daughters. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this apostolic anointing and what you're doing in this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stretch out your hands in the air if you can. Hallelujah. Come on, just receive new fire, new strength. New strength and a new vision for Canaan in Jesus' name. A refreshing, a refreshing, a refreshing, a refreshing. Come on, come on. I see Jesus kissing every scar in this place. Every scar in this place. Yeah, 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 yeah. Every scar in this place. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.